What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show as we start to close out summer just a little bit. You know, yesterday you kind of caught me off guard the last couple of days talking about school being in session because Rockwood starts on Monday. Tonight is Meet the Teacher Night. And I'm not going to be able to make Meet the Teacher Night because it's between 5 and 6. But I cannot wait for school to start, and it's going to be a great thing. And Sue, I know the traffic is a little bit more, you know, hectic out there. There's going to be some, I think, even more changes, obviously, on Monday when more kids go back. But we do have a few school districts around here that have gone back, right, this week?
Oh, yeah. I took the dogs to the groomers today, which is always an experience. And she said when I went to pick them up that it was a little crazy because her husband had to take the girls, had to pick them up from school. It's the first day. And woo!
Yeah. Gets complicated. There's no doubt about it. But I feel like the summer has been too complicated, so I want school to start again. And, you know, my daughter's excited. She really is. She wants to get back with her friends.
She's a top dog now, right?
She's fifth grade, right? This is the last year. And then middle school is next, so that's kind of crazy. So we got another Amazon package. We have a lot to cover here this afternoon, including more on crime in D.C., some changes that are being made at the Smithsonian. We got Elliot Davis, former Fox 2 investigative reporter, who's going to join us here this hour. Bill Eigel, former state senator. There's some interesting things that are proposed in the city of St. Charles that Bill has been trying to expose. And we have Sue's news on a Thursday after. Oh, and then Gloria Rodriguez. You know, the story yesterday that we kind of tapped into late in the show is Jussie Smollett is trying to make a comeback. There was a piece in the Hollywood trade publication
Variety.
Right.
And that's a, you know.
And it was just ridiculous that they gave him the ink on that. But Gloria was the one who represented the brothers, the, you know, the actual attackers. What are you pointing at? Oh, okay. There's a, Sue's opening another package here because we got yet another package from a listener who's been sending blankets. We assume that it's the same listener. And why would we get another one today?
Well, this one's blue. This, I believe, is for Fred, who was.
Or Ethan.
Well, you would think that, but somebody on the chat the other day on YouTube, or YouTubes, as we say.
Do we say that?
Well, the kids.
Okay.
They said, where's Fred's blanket? I said, oh, I'm sorry, he doesn't have one. I've offered him a pink one. He won't take it. So, Fred, today's delivery is a blue blanket for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the listener.
So, I mean, we've let it go on this far that we may as well let the gaslighting continue. We need another blanket because now I'm the only one that doesn't have one.
But what you do, though, you just have to wear pink because
it's pink.
I have a blue one. Now,
yes.
Fred has a blue one.
Now.
We have four. Oh, yes. I'm fine with pink.
Okay, see?
But I'll take it a step further here.
You used it while he was gone.
I'm just going to make a very respectful request to the listener. We don't know who this is
and
who's
sending
you.
Us. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
great.
You.
Yes.
I'm going to take it a step further beyond thank you, though.
Oh, dear.
I got a few things that I need from Amazon.
No.
And if you wouldn't mind fulfilling the order
not...
here, I need some Myers hand soap
nope.
and the spray refill. I have the bottles for the
no.
Myers, but I need the refill.
This
and
is
if
not...
you if you email me
Fred.
Here, I'll give you the specific.
I know.
Well, we get a nice gift. We get multiples, and you want more. That's not how you do things.
This is someone who has the Amazon account. Like, boom, boom, boom. They're pressing the buttons. It's getting sent here. Windex refill. I need a Windex refill,
no.
too.
Gosh, that's horrible.
I need some Bounce dryer sheets right now. I'm almost out of Bounce dryer sheets. How easy would that be for the listener to click on those two things? Boom, we get them here at the station. I bet they can get them here by today.
What about
sometimes you can do it the same day.
Person who sent this.
What about how about footing the bill for just fixing the AC? How about that? You know, get a little heat pumping.
We're the
here.
Only ones with Kuth.
I know.
I'm just saying they're very generous with the Amazon account. I don't see why we can't extort a little bit more from the listener. And speaking of listeners, you know, I got a lot of great emails and interaction on the socials when I was out on my, we'll just call it the leave of absence because of a mental health crisis. And, you know, there were, as I told you last week, there were a couple of people that thought that I was dead and that the station was covering it up. But I got a really nice letter. I hope she doesn't mind that I mention her last name. Jenny Williams is her name. And Jenny, if you're the one that's sending all the stuff from Amazon, we really appreciate that. But she just wrote a typed out a nice, nice letter. And one of the things that stuck out, Sue, you'll love this. She heaped praise not only on me, but on the show overall. And she said, I think my all-time favorite interview was during 2023, the fish fry with the World War II airman Bud Haneke.
Oh, yes.
Remember, Bud?
He was so great.
Jenny says, my husband and I were going morel mushroom hunting at Rockwood. We stayed in the car until the end. We were teary, especially when he sang the song.
Oh,
remember,
gosh,
he
yes.
did that song, I'll Be Seeing You. And she says, I sent a link to everyone in my family so they could listen to that special moment. But she really was very, very nice. And I want to respond. The problem is she didn't have an email address, so I'll have to try to send a piece of mail. We know how risky that is these
yeah.
days. But I wanted to at least mention that because we've gotten a few. Well, I've gotten a lot of emails, and I've tried to respond to all the emails. And hopefully, if you're a person out there who got no response, I apologize because there were quite a few that were coming in here over the course of the last 5 weeks. So I want to get to something here before we break and get to Elliot Davis, because this was sort of an unlikely source last night on CNN on the panel that Jennings is on with Jillian Michaels. Abby Phillips is the host at CNN, and she sort of is the... referee, if you will. They do a lot of, you know, I know this happens on the roundtable where we talk over one another. What? Let me rephrase that. When Jane talks over everyone, and I have my new paddle in here that says one at a time, and I get it. You know, we are sensitive to the fact that when we all talk over one another, it's not always easy for the listeners. But they were having this discussion because Trump's going into the Smithsonian, the administration, and they're trying to maybe change some things so they're not so anti-American. You would think that the Smithsonian would be pro-American in this country, but no, we're just, you know, colonialists who are racist, and all this stuff pops out in one display after another. And you know who Jillian Michaels is, probably.
Yeah.
How would you describe her? She's like she's a fitness
kind
guru,
of a,
if you will.
Yeah, a fitness guru, and she was on one of the shows. I can't remember which one. Maybe America's Biggest Loser?
Oh, I think she was on that
and
show.
And I think
yeah.
that's where she got most known, but then she's done, you know... But yes, fitness guru.
I went to her website. Her website's fantastic. Has all kinds of things and resources for fitness and diet, nutrition, et cetera. But she was on the panel last night, and she was arguing about the Smithsonian. And I thought the exchange was really, really interesting. And here's how it started.
Scott,
so first, let me just start with this person. This person that you're going to hear is this woman named Julie Rodzinski. She's a Democratic strategist. If I can get to the Jennings part of this, I will in this segment. But Jennings just smacks her down. So she says something here about, you know, criticizing Trump, trying to change things at the Smithsonian.
He's gone into the Smithsonian, and he's effectively now has some random person deciding what is appropriate for the Smithsonian to teach in terms of American history, things that don't offend parts of the MAGA base, right? So we're now literally reviewing parts of American history and parts of American culture to make sure it comports with Dear Leader and what the MAGA organization
wants. So that's just ridiculous. And this is where, you know, Jillian gets in here, because that's not what's happening. It's not to comport it with the MAGA base. It's to comport it with reality and not have everything be so anti-American.
Things that are in there? Because have you looked at some of the things that are being
slavery,
reviewed?
Yeah, slavery was a bad thing that was to talk about.
Okay.
Like,
he's not whitewashing
that.
Slavery. So
he's not.
He's not. No.
Okay.
He's not. And you cannot tie imperialism and racism and slavery to just one race, which is pretty much what every single exhibit does. But let's talk about the fact that when you can't tie slavery, let's talk about the fact that
slavery in America was a
system of
white supremacy.
Do you realize that only less than 2% of white Americans own slaves?
But it was a system of white supremacy.
You know that slavery is thousands of years old?
White people were
the slave owners. Do you know who was the first race to try to end slavery? Well, what's controversial?
I'm very surprised.
This is an extraordinary act.
So you hear kind of a lot of people talking over one of the, what her point is, and she tries to make it, is everything is framed around race. This is what the media does.
Right.
Everything is framed around race. What's happening, and this is why they're having this discussion as well, with the D.C. crackdown, with, you know, the National Guard coming in, well, it's racist. It's just because Trump is racist, right? And we saw it here for years with Cori Bush and Tishara and Kim Gardner, right? Everything framed around race. They cannot wait. Usually it's the white guilty people, not even the African-Americans. It's the white guilty people who frame it around race.
I'm really surprised.
Racism. Do you realize that?
Jillian, I'm surprised that you're trying to litigate who was the beneficiary of slavery and
I'm
who
not.
Was not.
What I'm trying to tell you is that
in the context of American history...
Okay.
In the context of American history, what are you saying is incorrect by saying that it was white people oppressing black people?
Every single thing is like, oh, no, this is all because white people bad. And that's just not the truth. Like, for example, every single exhibit, I have a list of every single one. Like, people migrated from Cuba because white people bad. Not because of Castro. Yes, no, it's in there. That's what I'm saying. You don't actually know what's in there. Do you know that when you walk
Jillian,
in the front door,
what exactly,
the first thing you
on,
see
you
is
have
a gay flag?
Jillian, you have a lot of stuff in front
yeah,
of you.
I do,
what
because
exactly
I don't, because here's the
are
thing.
Are you talking about?
Yeah, so Abby Phillips is trying to figure out what, you know, what she's saying. Look, she even admits that, you know, the reason that people were fleeing Cuba was because of Castro. Now, there was the U.S.-backed, you know, Batista, who was a controversial figure as well. But to frame that around race is just ridiculous.
An example.
Yeah, please.
There's one called Change Your Game, right? This has been an installation there. Is gender testing fair in sports? Does that, and then it goes on to talk about how it's complex to do gender testing in sports. It's not complex. It's basic science.
Why is that even in the Smithsonian, I would say?
Is it fair to have biological men competing against biological women in sports? No. But why is this in the Smithsonian?
Yeah.
So it's, well,
look,
it's
I mean,
been completely captured.
First of all, I don't
and it's
we,
totally
we don't. First of all, we don't have time to litigate
of
all of this.
Of course we don't.
Okay, but Abby Phillips tries to get involved here and blame Jillian for starting this whole thing about slavery. And that's not how it happened. If you heard the first bite here, it was this Julie Roginski who brought up slavery.
But I just, no, the no, argument.
No,
and
no,
it's, everything is racialized, just like you're trying to do to me now.
Excuse me.
It's like, I can't believe you're trying to suggest, you know, that slavery is a good
thing. Just to be clear, you brought up race.
No,
this was a conversation about the arts, and you brought up race.
It isn't,
you brought up.
But the whole point of this is that the issue
you brought up slavery.
Nope.
And you brought up the question of whether, you brought up the question of whether or not slavery in the United States is about race. The answer is
no,
yes.
I did not say
in the United States
don't strawman my argument
race.
Because that's not what I said.
So what
she
are you
brought
talking
up
about?
Slavery. And what I was talking about is that this isn't really about that. When you make every single exhibit about white imperialism when it isn't relevant at all, that is a problem. So when you're talking about Cubans leaving Cuba and you make it about white people bad, that's not accurate.
Can I just say
yeah, so that? And that's what she's trying to point out. So I have to play the Jennings clip here because this Julie Roginski is sort of an idiot. And Scott was sitting back during all of this when this was going on, just kind of being patient. But they were talking about the D.C. crime issue. And then, you know, this happened.
My advice on this as a punditry matter would be, well, let's see where we are at the end of 30 days. How much progress have they made? And then Congressman can make an assessment at that point about whether this is working and maybe it would help to extend it a little bit.
I guess I'm old enough, Scott, to remember when you were appalled as the rest of us were on January 6th when he wouldn't.
Because January 6th happened, should we not enforce the law today?
Excuse me.
Do you want murders today?
Let me finish.
That's the other thing that's happening here. It's all about January 6th. That was the worst day of violence. And look, I was outraged. And the reason that Josh Hawley won't come on the air with me anymore is because I asked him a question that was a good question about January 6th, and they blackballed me ever since. So I take January 6th seriously. Jennings takes it seriously. But then they sort of ignore murders and things that are happening in D.C.
January 6th
Scott,
equals
Scott,
no enforcement
Scott,
of murders.
Scott, I know you hate talking
this
about
this. Silly,
no, no,
this is a silly
it
argument.
Is? No, let me finish before you make a point about a silly
well,
argument.
It'll be silly, but
what's,
go ahead.
No, what's silly is you sitting down with Mitch McConnell over Chick-fil-A and lamenting how Donald Trump was putting all of you, including Mitch McConnell, in harm's way But I guess now you're so.
I wasn't in harm's way. I was in Louisville.
No, no. Your then boss, your friend Mitch McConnell, certainly was. But you know, now
January 6th was a bad day. Murders are also bad.
Can I finish?
I want murder solved.
Can I finish?
You got to hear the end here.
But if she wants to come out here and take pot shots at me, I'm not going to allow it. It's a stupid argument. I'm not going to allow it.
Scott, just let her finish. I don't even know that we've even heard the argument.
Scott, I know you're thirsty for that Senate seat, but let me finish. What I'm going to say.
I mean, you allow this every night.
Just give me one second here. Let's just let her finish, please.
Okay.
Just one
listen,
second.
I know you've got the picky thing going on. But here's what I'm going to say.
What are you thirsty for? Some kind of relevance out here?
No, well, no, actually, Scott.
Listen.
Well,
okay.
I don't know what you do for a living.
He's like, I don't even know what you do. He was pissed, so you could hear. And he was kind of pissed at Abby Phillip. You couldn't really hear what she said. But what Rodzinski said was, I know you're thirsty for the Senate seat because he's been talked about as running for Mitch McConnell's seat. Now, he hasn't made that decision. And with the new radio show and everything, I actually think, you know, at first I thought he was leaning in that direction. I asked him, and he just hadn't decided. But I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm running late. We got to take a break. We got Elliot Davis coming up and a lot more this afternoon.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Well, tomorrow is already Friday. We have a Reardon Roundtable on deck. Jane Duker, former state senators, John Lamping and Jeff Smith, both on the panel. Then all the stuff we do with Paul Hall on entertainment and Frank Cusimano, plus Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour. Our friend George Rosenthal from Throttle It will be here on some tech things, and then Steve Shankman on some concerts that are coming up, and that's in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. We have Elliot Davis with us this afternoon, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter who's doing a bang-up job on Facebook, doing independent journalism. Well, welcome back, Elliot. How are you?
Thank you, buddy. I'm doing okay. Not bad.
I was tooling around, and I saw a couple things I wanted to ask you about. And I had not covered this story really extensively. We talked a little bit about it on the Reardon Roundtable. But there's this kerfuffle, if you will, with Darlene Green, the former comptroller, and a paycheck dispute. I guess she has been restored, or she was restored, to a civil service job that she had not held for 30 years, put back on the payroll. Explain what happened here and what you think the response should be, because it's a little confusing to me, and I'm easily confused, Elliot.
It's very confusing. There are a lot of players, there are a lot of elements, moving parts. The bottom line is, through a mistake made by St. Louis City government involving a number of departments, chiefly the personnel department, a couple of checks was issued in the name of Darlene Green in the amount of $6,500. Well, the story came out, though, that the checks were issued to Darlene Green, right? And so that created the impression that Darlene Green received all these extra checks was put on a payroll, received these extra checks, when that did not happen. The personnel, assistant personnel director, ultimately came out and said, well, Darlene Green never got any checks. No checks were ever sent to her. The checks were never cashed. And that's what he ultimately said. But still, there are some questions as to, well, how did this happen? And so you get into the really complex deal about somebody in personnel says, in order for her to be effectively retired, she has to be returned to her position as budget director, a position she had, you know, left 30 years previously. And so apparently when somebody put her back in as the budget director, the system issued checks in her name. And so those two checks for $13,000 were actually issued and printed. They just didn't, with her name on it, but just didn't go to Darlene Green.
So
it was
somewhere
inside the system.
And now they're voided, and they're, you know, not to be cashed, and they're trying to figure out how this happened. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when I read some of your Facebook coverage, were you critical of the current comptroller, Donna Behringer, and the mayor on this issue and the way that they handled this?
Well, here, mainly the criticism goes to the personnel director. That's for starters. My belief is that there should be an apology to Darlene Green for the damage to her reputation of this being out there that checks were issued to Darlene Green in the amount of $13,000. And so what people have been saying, they've been trying to explain all this. I believe that there should be a news conference, that officials should explain all this, and that the top officials who are involved should issue an apology to Darlene Green so that there is absolutely no doubt that she did anything wrong. And the mayor is a top official. So I'm not saying the mayor made this mistake.
Right.
I'm not saying she did it. I'm not saying she's to blame, but she's the head of city government. She's a top ranking official. We're not talking about a mistake that was made involving a secretary. Not trying to down secretaries. This was the second highest city official. And this obviously didn't make her look too good. So for a lot of people who saw the first reports on this, it looked like Darlene got these checks. So I'm saying that as the head of the city government, should be a news conference. This was done. Obviously, the comptroller's office was involved. I'm not even blaming Donna Behringer. But her office was involved in this, and she needs to be with the mayor. They all in unison need to, one, say, Darlene Green, not to blame, didn't get any money, didn't get any checks. This city made a mistake. We apologize for the mistake that the city made. This should not be done just by a series of statements going to and fro.
Yeah, well, and to your point, I think, and that was my impression, I think the impression that a lot of people would be left with after reading some of the coverages is that Darlene Green did something wrong. And you're saying, no, it was, and I think the mayor is even saying, look, this was somebody in the personnel department, they're trying to figure out who's to blame. So that's interesting, and I don't know, you know, where that story might take us. I want to talk about one other thing, though. The Mike Brown anniversary just took place. You had a posting about that on your Facebook page. You wrote in a follow-up that you deleted that post because there were too many racist comments. Would you like to explain what happened there, Elliot?
Let's see. Which post? I got to say one more thing, too. I did talk to Darlene Green, and she wants an apology. from city government. So I did, in fact, talk to her, and she says her reputation was damaged by this, and the city owes her an apology. She believes the mayor should be a part of that, the comptroller should be a part of that, and certainly the personnel director. Okay. So that's what Darlene Green. Now, the second question was, okay, about that, and that was my post about Michael Brown.
Right.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And then I think that I never saw the original post, but you said you took it down because there were too many people that were commenting and you deemed the comments racist. And instead of, you know, deleting all those, you just took the post down. Is that what happened?
Absolutely. I shared a post. I shared a post that had been aired by a TV station. There was nothing wrong with the post. It was just noting that it was the anniversary of the Michael Brown riots, essentially.
Yeah.
And so the post wasn't controversial. The post didn't point any new fingers, didn't point any fingers, said, hey, then talked to a number of people. I put it up there, and there were all these comments, and a lot of more racist comments saying, you know, and I'm not going to even repeat what they all were saying. In my opinion, they were insensitive, and they were racist comments. And I'm not trying to have a page where you get all of these people and they see it as a way of being able to vent because maybe they don't like black people or they still pissed about this event. And the Michael Brown case obviously engenders a lot of anger on all sides. And so there are a lot of people who are angry about what happened. And so when you start talking about Michael Brown, then you get people coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Well, and Facebook, like I said, I know that that's where you're doing a lot of your coverage, but Facebook, unfortunately, is a little notorious for that. And people feel like they can do that. So I was just curious because I read the post.
And what I decided that, and what you have to do, you have to police Facebook. You have to police your page unless you want it to be a harbinger and a safe haven for all these people with all of these views and racist views. If you wanted to become that, you let anybody say anything. But if you, and I've told people, I'm determined to police this site. I'm determined that it's not going to turn into that. I delete a lot of people and I block a lot of people.
Yeah, and
but I wanted to put people on notice.
Yeah, and you know, my suggestion would be all I do is I post pictures of my grandson, my bunny, and my puppy. And then you get positive comments, Elliot Davis. But thank you so much for coming on here and clarifying a couple of those things this afternoon.
Don't expect me to post bunny. I will post my granddaughter. I will put pictures of her up.
And well, she's cute.
I love my bunny Oreos, so you can meet him at some point. All right, Elliot, take care. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
buddy. All right, we'll see.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Yeah. So there's a meeting that takes place tonight from 5 till 7 at the Foundry Art Center in St. Charles about a data center. And this was brought to my attention a couple of days ago. There's a controversy about this data center, and the St. Charles City Council members, not the county council members, are considering approval of a use permit for 440 acres in question. And there seems to be a little mystery about this, and there seems to be a lot of opposition to it. Former State Senator Bill Igel is with us this afternoon. Of course, he is seeking currently the Republican nomination for St. Charles County Executive. Bill, how are you? Haven't spoken in a while. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So what is going on with this? I mean, to a certain extent, I thought when I was, pitched this a couple of days ago, I thought it was a little bit in the weeds. But my understanding is there's a lot of people in St. Charles that are curious about this. There's secrecy. There were NDAs that were signed about the project. So how would you explain what the proposal is and then what might happen tonight?
Yeah, so right now, from everything that I've gathered, the city of St. Charles is considering granting an exemption to their zoning laws inside the city to basically set aside 440 acres of city ground to put in a massive data center. Now, these data centers, there's data centers that are filled with servers and other electronic equipment all over the country. They do a couple things. One, it's a big industrial site, and St. Charles is considering putting this industrial site right up against some of the neighborhoods in St. Charles City. So there's a natural, real concern from some of the residents there who don't like the idea of having a whole bunch of light pollution and noise pollution at all hours of the day and night from an industrial park right next to their home. So that's the first thing. But I've also noticed that there's a real concern that such a big industrial site is ultimately going to make people's utility bills go up. And what's going to happen is, as I understand it, this data center is going to require so much electricity that it's going to require as much electricity as every other homeowner and business in St. Charles City combined. That's a huge amount of electricity.
I believe that. Yeah, the way these things have been described, that doesn't sound too far off reality.
Well, and what's going to happen, that's going to require Ameren and our electric providers to put new infrastructure in, so new power lines, maybe new power generation. And when they do that, it's going to fall to the other ratepayers in the area and the wider region that use Ameren to pay for those upgrades, which means that all of our utility bills are going up. So there's concerns just from the residents living next to this. There's concern from the residents putting together, seeing their utility bills going up. There's also a concern that this is also the same site where we recently had a problem out in St. Charles City from some water contamination from the ground wells over there, where Ameren had already had some substations that leaked some bad substances in the ground. They just got done cleaning that up. And now we're talking about putting another industrial site right within the zone of where the residents of St. Charles are getting their water from. So there's an environmental concern as well. And making everything worse, it's wrapped up in this shroud of secrecy where we can't even really get any details about what's going on and what the details are.
Yeah, that's part of the weird part when it was described to me. What's your gut check on why there's so much secrecy?
Well, it is weird. I understand the desire for a private entity to limit the exposure of, corporate secrets or business trade practices that they don't want to become public. But that is far and away different from letting the public know how much power is this place going to use. Are there any abatements that the city is going to give this power, this data center that's going to make everybody else's property tax bills go up? Is there going to have to be, how exactly are they going to get the water to cool all the equipment to this plant? These are pretty basic details that the public ought to have access to that to this point they haven't had it. And a couple weeks ago, the Planning and Zoning Commission in St. Charles City actually denied the hazardous use permit that it was also going to be required for this facility because they're going to have to store thousands of gallons of diesel fuel on site in the event of a power loss that the backup generators can kick in. So there's some real environmental basic concerns that folks aren't getting answers to. And this is just weird, and it seems like it's not a good idea.
My understanding is this meeting is expected to be pretty packed tonight. Is it a meeting where the council could make a decision in the other direction, or is this just the way that you described it in your post is sort of an open house from the developers? Is this just them kind of pitching a little bit more information, or can the council maybe go in another direction here?
So tonight is just an informational meeting for residents and interested parties to come in and ask their questions. So I think there's pretty high expectations that there needs to be a whole lot more answers for the public that addresses these concerns that hasn't already been covered. Next Tuesday night is when the city council is planning to meet to make a final decision. And because the planning and zoning group actually voted against it for that hazardous use permit, 7 of the 10 city council members have to vote to override the Planning Zoning Commission and allow the project to go forward. And right now, it's very, very close whether or not this project is going to make it past that hurdle. So as more folks are getting involved, there's a real groundswell of opposition to what effectively comes down to a lot of unanswered questions.
Bill Igel is here. Let me ask you a couple of political questions. You are currently in this race for St. Charles County Executive, which the election would be next year, right? You're committed to that, or could that change and you maybe decide to run for Congress in the 2nd District?
No, that's not going to change.
Okay.
I'm committed to St. Charles County. I'm not thinking about the federal government right now. I'm trying to do everything I can not to think about federal politics at the moment.
What about, you know, and this is state politics and federal politics, what are your thoughts, just because you were there in the legislature on the redistricting effort from a couple of years ago? Obviously, there's some concern about that now. Senator Schor was on my show the other day talking about this. Republicans seemingly, and I think the president wants this, and the governor has been notified, Mike Kehoe, and there might be a session coming up where they tackle this redistricting issue to try to get the map a little bit more favorable to Republicans. Thoughts on that? I mean, I think it's something you encouraged from the start, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Right? My first thought is had a lot of those folks in Jefferson City followed the advice that myself and a few others were trying to give them a couple years ago, they wouldn't have to deal with this. But here we are. I think that the president is right on this issue. I think that the current breakdown of the congressional districts doesn't reflect the broader opinions of the Missouri public. I said that several years ago. I would say that now. And man, you know, I always refer to Donald Trump seems to be a constant miracle worker. Now he's able to get some of the more moderate Republicans in Jefferson City to act like more conservative Republicans. Boy, what can't he do, right? So I think it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to happen during the veto session next month. And like I said, for any of the Republicans down there that may have some hesitation, well, we could have done this a couple of years ago, but sounds like we're going to finally get it addressed now.
Well, the other thing that apparently they might address in the session is initiative petition reform, which is something else that was worked on a couple of years ago and just never got off the ground. I mean, we talked about it a lot, talked about it to the point where it drove me crazy. And I think a lot of people were confused by that. But it's my understanding that if the governor calls them back, that that's something that might be addressed in this special session, or they call it sometimes an extraordinary session as well.
You know, both initiative petition reform and the redistricting were two of the most controversial issues that the legislature was trying to tackle just a few years ago. And now it feels like whether it's Donald Trump in the White House or some more conservative forces down there in Jefferson City, they're finally coming to the forefront and they might actually get done. I think that's a good thing. I've been an advocate for reducing the ability of foreign influence in our public initiative petition process for a long time. We couldn't seem to get it done in regular session because there's always too much going on in regular session. So if we can get both of those things done in a special session over the veto timeline, those would be two pretty big victories for the state of Missouri.
Bill Igel, always great to have you on. Glad to hook up with you. I hope all is well, and keep us posted on everything out there in St. Charles.
Sounds good, Mark. We'll talk real soon.
All right, take care. Well, it was yesterday during the show that I discovered we were on live with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters, and I was going down his Twitter feed and discovered that there was a piece in Variety, Hollywood Trade publication, about Jussie Smollett. He's trying to make a comeback. His sister's actually doing quite well in an Apple TV Plus show called Smoke that I'm watching. Journey is her first name.
Huh.
But Jussie's out there, and he's trying to have a comeback. He's doing an album, and they have a documentary that's on Netflix in which he took part. Now, we're a little bit, prone to appreciating the one that's on Fox Nation that our friend Gloria Rodriguez did. She helped produce it. She's the attorney for the Osundario brothers, and she is going to join us. I had to get her reaction for this, so she'll join us at 4:30, a little later in the show. I thought this was interesting as well, and I think she's getting a fair amount of attention. Anna Giartelli is her name, and she is a columnist. Actually, not a columnist. She's a reporter for the Washington Examiner, but she wrote her first op-ed piece because she has a very personal and somewhat private, you know, connection to everything that is being debated right now when it comes to the situation with Trump bringing in the federal, you know, National Guard and federalizing what's happening with the law enforcement in D.C. And Anna is someone who was a victim of crime near Union Station. She was assaulted by a dude who, and this is, Sue, this is unbelievable. The not only the recidivism, the repeat offenders, the cops arrest the same people time and time again. She's very lucky. In fact, she really credits in this piece a guy by the name of Donnie, who is just a construction worker who was in that area and heard her screaming and ran to her rescue. She even says, I don't know if I would be here today. But when you dig deeper into what she's writing about, and this is why it's important, and I also think it's relatable to hear in St. Louis, is the way that these crime stats are manipulated.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And we're not talking about, you know, one thing she makes clear, too, is she's not really referring to the officers on the street, but the suits, and, you know, this sometimes happens with political pressure from the mayor's office, the way that they manipulate this, even with her, you know, attacker in particular, you can't find, and this guy gets out right away, he's arrested again, then he's arrested again, he ends up having a short sentence, but they don't even put it on the map of where the crime occurred. And they said the answer that they gave her was that the city only includes first-degree felonies under its crime stats. So that would mean that for every person robbed, assaulted, or sexually abused in anything less than egregious ways, you have not been counted into the total tally.
Jeez.
The pain you suffered was not severe enough. I mean, that is
what
utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, they cook the books, all right? So they cook the books. Now, we have more media reaction, I think, that's interesting because there are people, I mentioned Joe Scarborough yesterday. Look, I think he has to be honest with this because he realizes that there is a serious problem there.
The answer to this problem for Democrats is not, oh, everything's okay. There's nothing to see here. Move along, move along. Oh, Washington has dropped 24% or whatever in crime. Well, let me give you some other numbers. The Washington Post took a poll in late April, early May. 91% of Washington residents say crime is a problem. 91%. 51%, it is an extremely serious problem.
Yeah, so those are overwhelming numbers. Yeah. We cited them yesterday. Scott Jennings pointed that out on the CNN panel the night before.
John Heilman, we've had people before put this in racial terms. And this is what I must say, this is one thing that I think Democrats have gotten so wrong about crime. So wrong about crime. Let me just read the Washington Post here. There are stark divides among lines of race and income in the poll, with black residents and lower income residents significantly more worried about crime than white residents and those with higher incomes. As they were last year, black women are among the most concerned, with 65% saying crime is a very or extremely serious issue, compared with 82% who said the same thing last year.
So think about that. I'm sorry that bite cut off at the end, but think about that in the way that the media framed this the other night, because it was all about race. You know, they were claiming racism.
You can't keep saying violent crime is down, but the murder rate's up. To the average person, the murder rate's about life and death. The Democrats are, I agree with you, Mika, they're falling into the trap of defending what's indefensible.
It's a trap. I can't tell you how profoundly stupid it is for Democrats to get up with their facts and their figures and their charts and their graphs and say, look, you're safe. Can't you read this chart, idiots? Why are you complaining? I don't have to tell you how profoundly stupid that is, because voters told you how profoundly stupid that was in 2024.
But if you go to MSNBC and a lot of the other pundits out there, and even on some of the CNN panels, this was all about racism, right? And here's the thing where Democrats are going to get in more trouble, because what if this works? You know, I played the bite from Jennings from earlier this hour. You give this the 30 days. This is not something that Trump has instilled permanently. But if it actually makes people safer, makes people feel safer, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yes.
It was utterly ridiculous. You know, there's two complaints about this from the standard, talking heads outside of Joe Scarborough, who usually is on the same page with everyone. One is that this is a race issue. It's just Trump being racist. And the other is that it's some sort of political diversion because of the Epstein situation, which I think is utterly ridiculous. In the meantime, this Harry Enten guy, who gets a big workout with his chalkboard and his stats over at CNN, has to keep coming on time and time again to the network that hates Trump and explain to them that the American people are with him on this stuff.
Democrats have to get it around their heads that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than they think that they are. What are we talking about? Trump's net approval handling crime. Where was he last year? He was way underwater at minus 13 points views of term number one. But look at where he is now. He's on the positive side.
Yeah, and that does not stop there. The approval numbers, and, you know, I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, what I said in the spring when everyone was apoplectic, and granted, I was a bit of a panicking about the stock market and worried about that. But on everything else, I said, let's let things settle in here a little bit. Let's see where we are in August. Well, now we're in August, and the numbers are pretty good because he's getting things done.
I think that Democrats have to get it around their heads that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than they think that they are. What are we talking about? Trump's net approval handling crime. Where was he last year? He was way underwater at minus 13 points views of term number one. But look at where he is now. He's on the positive side of ledger. He's on the positive side at plus 1 point.
Was that the same bite that I just played? Because I have multiple bites from Harry Enten. This compares him against Biden.
Compare Trump to Biden in handling of crime, please.
Yeah, okay. I think this sort of gives the game away here, because Donald Trump is like Air Jordan towering over Joe Biden when it comes to their handling of crime. Look, in 2024, look at where Biden's net approval was on crime. Way underwater there at minus 26 points. It was one of Biden's worst issues. Granted, pretty much every issue was one of Biden's worst issues. And again, look at where Donald Trump is. Way, way, way above Joe Biden. What is that? That's 27 points. So Americans vastly prefer Donald Trump's approach to crime than they did to Joe Biden's. And again, I think it gets back to the point that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than a lot of Democrats want to admit.
It's kind of common sense, like a lot of these things are. And I love the fact that I really do. I give credit to Scarborough for digging into the numbers on the polling to show that it's black women in particular who are most concerned about the crime. We talk about this, Sue, all the time, even here in North St. Louis County or North City. You have people, we don't often hear from them in the media, but these are the people that want the police to do their jobs because they're worried about their families, they're worried about their kids,
their property,
everything. So, you know, you have the elected officials, you have the Cori Bush, Tashara, the people like that, they're out there and, you know, they're trying to defund the police. You have this guy in New York, Mamdani, who still wants to do the same thing. I can't wait to see how that all plays out and what a disaster it's going to be, because it's going to be a big disaster. I'll have to give Kara Spencer a little credit. We kind of maybe thought that this would happen, but I have yet to see Kara get involved or be drawn into any of these national topics and politicize things, because I think that, you know, with this in particular, she's hyper-focused, hopefully, on St. Louis and maybe making some progress. I'd like to see a little bit more aggressiveness in some of these issues publicly. I'm hoping that they're happening privately, but it really is just like the border. We had some of these comparisons yesterday. The way that, and maybe it's just the media, because I think regular people, that's what's indicative of the Washington Post poll. Yes, regular people about this. They're like, we don't feel safe. We think this is an issue. We're sick and tired of it not being addressed. We're tired of people who commit crimes being released time and time again. The cops on the street here will tell you the same thing.
Yeah, they will.
It's the same people that they arrest time and time again. So a lot of work to be done here in St. Louis, a lot of work to be done in D.C., but then you got the Brandon Johnsons of the world in Chicago and others. They seem to think everything is fine, and the cops are the bad guys. That's where they go. All right, we'll come back here at the top of the hour. We have Fox News. I got a couple of things to toss in before Sue's news, and then Gloria Rodriguez, who represented the Osandario brothers, her reaction to the Variety piece on Jussie Smollett, who apparently is trying to make a comeback.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.